Winston Churchill, who was a British orator, author, and also prime minister during the days of World War II, he was especially noted for his speeches and his radio broadcasts during the difficult days of the war. Many of his speeches and radio broadcasts reflected his wisdom and his profound thinking. Mr. Churchill is known for many of his wise quotes, and I have one of those quotes for you here today. He was quoted as saying, "Courage is what it takes to stand up and speak." Then he added, "Courage is also what it takes to sit down and listen." And during the dark days of World War II, many people, and specifically world leaders, listened very intently to what Winston Churchill had to say, because he was one of the leaders that was guiding us through the dark days of the war. Many leaders followed his leadership and wisdom during the most trying of times on this earth. Now, sit down and listen, the quote from Winston Churchill, is a very important principle that implies listening to sound advice. Sound advice, whether from family, friends, teachers, ministers, or more importantly, God and God's Word. To add to this idea of sound advice, I have another quote from Queen Elizabeth II of England. She said this, "To what greater inspiration and counsel can we turn to than the truth to be found in the Bible?" Very good quote from Queen Elizabeth II. Again, sit down and listen, sound advice, and turning to the Bible and God's Word. The Bible is a great source of counsel that we can turn to as followers of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. The Proverbs, of course, are full of a lot of sound advice. Advice from King Solomon, inspired by God. Proverbs chapter 19. And notice verse number 20. Proverbs 19 and verse number 20. "Listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days." Now the paraphrase of verse 20 reads like this: "Get all the advice you can and be wise the rest of your life." All of the advice that you can and be wise the rest of your life. This word counsel comes from a Hebrew word which means the giving of good advice, advice or advisement. "Listen to counsel and accept instruction" is written in the New International Version. And by listening to counsel and accepting instruction, one becomes wise. Now the second half of this verse provides the purpose of receiving the advice, to be wise towards the end of a person's life. But it also can mean to be wise shortly after receiving the counsel or the advice. And we need counsel and advice to make wise and right decisions. Turn again to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, just a few pages back. And this time, verse number 15. Proverbs 12 and verse 15. We read, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." Again, reading from the paraphrase, this is how it is quoted. "A fool thinks he needs no advice, but a wise man listens to others." This is something that many in today's culture do not do. They don't listen to others. People too often try to go it alone. But this is a very sound proverb, inspired by God, that needs to be adhered to by followers of Jesus Christ. The title of today's sermon is Seeking Wise Counsel. Seeking Wise counsel. Today, let's examine the importance of seeking wise counsel, counsel that can help us to be wise in all of our decisions. God wants us to grow in wisdom. It's part of the character building process, and walking with God is walking in wisdom. During this sermon today, we are going to examine why followers of Christ need to seek counsel. We'll also look at some examples of heeding counsel in the Bible and not heeding good counsel. And then we will finish with three important areas in seeking wise counsel. Now, this word counsel, as I mentioned before, means advice or advisement, and it's used approximately 80 times in the Old Testament scriptures. The word counsel, approximately 80 times in the Old Testament scriptures. And it's used in the sense of going forward, and yet in the right direction. Counsel to give you, to get you going in the right direction. And when this word counsel is used in the Proverbs, it's even more peculiar, because this word, when it's used in the Proverbs, has the sense of the guidance of a helmsman, the helmsman of a ship that's steering the ship through the waters in the right direction. That's how it's used in the Proverbs, guiding like a helmsman guides a ship. This phrase, wise counsel, when you see that, according to Barnes' notes, means the power to steer a ship in the dangerous seas of life. And a lot of us have a lot of decisions to make in our lives, physical decisions, you know, whether it's relating to school, whether it's relating to marriage, career, health decisions, which a lot of us are facing as we grow older in age. And we need to be steering rightly in the dangerous seas of life. So why do we need to seek counsel then? Well, according to Proverbs, we need to seek counsel to plan things in our lives. We all have to make plans, and we need the right counsel to do that. Now, four times in the book of Proverbs, it's mentioned about the importance of getting sound advice when it comes to making plans. Four times, and we'll look at each one of these scriptures during the sermon. Of the importance of getting sound advice to make plans. God is a planning God. God planned the creation. He planned the earth. He planned all of mankind. He has a plan of salvation for all of mankind, pictured by the holy days. He is a planning God. And he wants all of us, as followers of him and Jesus Christ, to be planners as well, and to make sound decisions, both in our physical lives and our spiritual lives. Let's go now to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. Let's take a look at one of these scriptures that relates to sound advice when it comes to making plans. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse number 6. Proverbs chapter 24 in verse number 6. You'll find as we go through the sermon here, especially the beginning part, we're going to be turning to a lot of the Proverbs because there's so much in here about steering us in the right direction. Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 6. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. Notice the phrase, wise counsel, you will wage your own war. And many of us do have battles, don't we? Daily battles that we face. Like I said earlier, it could be health issues. It could be family problems. It could be problems at school or work. Those are the physical problems. And then there's spiritual battles that we have as well to tackle. But with wise counsel, they can be tackled. You can wage your own war. And in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Expositor's commentary adds this. Wise counsel is necessary for war. The point is that for victory, strategy is more important than strength, but that strategy must be wise. So in order to win a victory in a war, you have to have good, sound strategy. It's more important than strength. You know, you've heard the sayings, and it's been evident from history, that sometimes The greatest numbers don't always achieve the victory. It's the strategy that is used. Just as leaders of nations need adequate counsel, so do individuals. Let's back up for a moment and go through these verses. Let's go to verse number 3. Verse number 3, we read, "Through wisdom a house is built." Now, I can tell you, and most of you know, that I worked in construction for many years before the church hired me, both in new home construction and commercial construction. And there's always plans involved in any kind of building project, whether it's a new home or it's a commercial building. It's called blueprints. And you follow those plans in detail, and that's how a home is constructed, through the wisdom of the plans of the project builder. And continuing on, "And by understanding it is established." Verse number 4, "By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches." Now, if you've built a new home and you begin to furnish your home in the various rooms, you plan where you're going to put things. You plan where you're going to put the dining room outfit and the living room sofa, etc. It's planned and furnished that way. Verse number 5, "A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength." Notice the strength that is involved comes from knowledge. The wise man is strong from knowledge. Knowledge from God's word. The strength of the wise man, of course, is the plans and the strategy that he makes. And all the advice that he can gather from a multitude of counselors will serve him well. Verse number 6, then, "By wise counsel you will wage your own war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety." I'd like to read that from today's English version. Verse number 6 reads like this: "After all, you must make careful plans to fight a battle. And the more good advice you get, the more likely you are to win." Good advice to win. You know, a couple of weeks ago, after services, you know, you had the not the fun show, but the, I can't think of it now. I just went blank. The auction, yes. Thanks. Boy, your pastor's getting old here and forgetful. The auction you had a couple weeks ago, and Lydia came back for that, and I went home to be with my mother and to stay with her. And I don't normally watch a lot of football, but sometimes towards the, when it gets deeper in the playoffs and towards the Super Bowl, I'll check in on it a little bit. And so I went to my mother's, and she doesn't have a whole lot on TV, and she decided she wanted to lay down for a few minutes. And so I was relaxing and flipping through the channels, and on came a football game. It was between the Indianapolis Colts and the, who was the other team? Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know if any of you saw the end of that particular game or not. Like I said, I don't normally watch a whole lot of football, but I caught the end of that particular game. And the last, it was a huge score. 45-44 was the final score on this particular game. And it came down to the final play where the quarterback made a long, long, super long pass to his receiver, and they scored on the very last play of the game. And you know, I read a couple days later on the internet that team had set up that play all throughout the game. They kept working on different other plays to distract the other team to use that last play so they wouldn't be ready for it. And it worked, and they won the game. It's just a little thing that how strategy can be involved to win. Proverbs chapter 20, and verse number 18. Proverbs chapter 20. This is another one of those of the four scriptures in Proverbs that talks about sound advice and making plans. Proverbs 20, verse 18. "Plans are established by counsel. By wise counsel, wage war." Again, counsel is like a helmsman steering the ship in the right direction, guiding or steering a ship. And good, wise counsel helps steer us in the right direction to complete our plans according to God's purposes. You know, God has a purpose for each and every one of us. He called us. He called us out of the millions of people on this planet to understand his way of life and his truth. And he has a purpose for us. He's training us for the future. And he's guiding and steering us in the right direction. And that's why we need to allow him to steer us and guide us. Now let's go to Proverbs chapter 11. And let's notice what happens without counsel. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 14. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. And sometimes they fall very greatly. Individuals can fall. Can fall into the pitfalls that are out there. Disasters sometimes. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But again, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. There again, it's so important that the last part of this verb, this verse is repeated. In a multitude of counselors, there is safety. So we see that without counsel, sound advice, the people fall. Mistakes or disasters can happen. And we all make mistakes. Each and every one of us, including myself. The key is to try to avoid those mistakes, the physical mistakes and also the spiritual ones as well. And the key to avoiding the pitfall, the disasters, the mistakes, is in a multitude of counselors. The Life Application Study Bible adds this. It is human nature to make our own plans and then ask God to bless them. Instead, we should seek his will first. Very, very important. Sometimes we get ideas in our head and we think that this is the way we ought to go. But it's not according to God's plan and purposes for us. We need to seek his will in our lives. Again, the last part of verse 14, in a multitude of counselors there is safety. This emphasizes the need to get counsel from a number of sources, all to be weighed together to make important decisions. And a lot of you have to make important decisions in your lives. Some of you, some of you young people, it's with school, maybe the career that you're going to be deciding on someday, the friendships that you make. For the rest of us, it could be decisions with family matters, or something that each and every one of us are seeing more and more in my three congregations, anyways. Health, important health decisions. It's important to get counsel from a number of sources on some of these health issues. I'll give you an example from my own experience. This was in 1999 when I used to work for a commercial construction company out of Grand Rapids, Michigan. We were working on a huge, huge health project in downtown Grand Rapids, Michigan. It was during the winter time, and in Grand Rapids, Michigan, the wind and the snow, the lake effect snow can blow off of Lake Michigan, and it can just be bitter, bitter. This particular building was up several stories, I think seven stories up in the air, and typical on commercial buildings, when they want to enclose it and have work done inside, they make temporary walls and doors up so that they can heat the inside and do the painting and the drywall and the things that are needed to be done inside while it's still cold outside and before they have the exterior walls completed. So this particular building had the temporary plywood walls with plywood entry doors as well. Well, one day after work, as it was time to go home, I was leaving the job site and opening one of these temporary plywood doors, and somebody had draped a welding cable, lead cable, right in front of the door. Now, I don't think it was on purpose, by no means. It was just something they were winding it up at the end of the day and didn't realize that it had gotten right in front of the door. Now, this would create an OSHA safety issue big time. But anyways, this happened to be strung right in front of the door, about a foot off the cement as I was opening the door up. Didn't see it and tripped, and all my body weight started to go down to the concrete. My first reaction was to put out my hand, and my right thumb took all the brunt of my weight on the concrete as I was falling down. And immediately that thumb just blew up and swelled, and the pain was tremendous. Now, fortunately, right across the street in downtown Grand Rapids, there was a hospital. And looking at my thumb and the pain, I thought, well, I better go over there and get this checked out. So I went across the street to this hospital, waited a long time in the emergency department. Finally, somebody took a look at me, and then they sent a surgeon out. The surgeon came up, and he examined my thumb for couple minutes, and he said, "Well, I'm going to tell you, I need to do a surgery on you immediately. And if we don't do immediate surgery on you," he goes, "you'll never be able to use that thumb again for the rest of your life." Like I'm sure. Now, you see how I'm moving my thumb now. And I thought, well, that seems kind of drastic and kind of sudden to want to do surgery just right away on this. And I just knew deep down inside that this was a bad, bad sprain, and I didn't think it was broken. Although I couldn't, you know, at that time I couldn't move it much. And so he was pinching on me to have this surgery done, and I got to thinking, well, later on I thought, well, maybe he had a golf game in Bermuda that he needed a quick $6,000 for, and I was his corporate to get that money. So I said, well, I got to think about this. I'm going to go home, and I'll get back with you tomorrow. And I believe I went and did get a second opinion, and it wasn't broken. And within about a week's time, it started to get a whole lot better. And as you can see, I can use this thumb perfectly and very fast, contrary to what he said, that I'd never be able to use it again. Just a little item just to show that it's always good to get a second opinion, to get as much counsel, especially with health issues nowadays. And that's part of the reason for this message today. To avoid the pitfalls, we need good counsel. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 5. A wise man will hear and increase learning. Just like Winston Churchill said, to sit down and listen, to listen to sound advice. A wise man will hear and increase learning. And a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Understanding for correct discernment, to make those decisions that we have to make, both the physical decisions and the spiritual ones as well. Verse number 6. Or actually, that's where I wanted to end on verse number 5. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Expositor's commentary adds, counsel is the discernment to steer a right course through life. And we all need that in our decision-making process. Now let's take a look for a bit here in the sermon. Let's take a look at one, an example of heeding good counsel. Then we'll take a look at not heeding good counsel from a couple stories in the Bible. First of all, let's go to an example of heeding good counsel in Exodus chapter 18. You might be surprised by this particular example because it has to do with Moses and his father-in-law. Right after the children of Israel had been released from their slavery in Egypt and had come through the Red Sea, and they were coming through the wilderness, and he encounters his father-in-law, Jethro. Exodus chapter 18, and let's begin reading in verse number 1. Exodus chapter 18 and verse number 1. And Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Now, this is just one phrase that kind of is a capsule of a big story that we know about, of all the things that happened to the children of Israel and what God did for them. But Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, who was a Midianite, relation to him through Abraham, he heard of all of this, some of the stories that had happened with the children of Israel. Now let's drop down to verse number 5. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness, where he was encamped at the mountain of God. Now he had said to Moses, "I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons with her." So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, bowed down and kissed him, and they asked each other about their well-being, and they went into the tent. So again, Jethro meets him out in the wilderness, comes with the family, and they, in the traditional Middle Eastern greeting, they bow down and kiss each other. Then they go into the tent to start to chat about all the things that had been happening. Now let's continue on. Verse number 8, Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had come upon them on the way, and how the Lord had delivered them. Again, this is another little capsule of a big story of all that God had done for Israel. Verse number 9. Then Jethro rejoiced for all the good which the Lord had done for Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. Upon hearing these stories and the miracles that God had done, of course, Jethro was rejoicing and very glad for what had been done for Israel. Now let's go down to verse number 13. And so it was on the next day after this day, this night where they had been chatting about all that God had done for them. The next day, Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. Now, if you can get the picture here, all day long, morning to evening, Moses was in front of the children of Israel, listening to maybe various problems and judging and helping and giving them counsel. Verse 14. So when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, "What is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you from morning to evening?" Verse 15, and Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a difficulty, they come to me, and I judge between one another, and I make known the statutes of God and his laws." So he said very simply, "That's my job. I stand before the children of Israel all day. They come before me with difficulties, and I answer their needs." Verse 17, so Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you do is not good." Now think about this for a minute. Here's Moses' father-in-law, a Midianite, out in the middle of the wilderness, telling the great, quote, Moses, who had led the children of Israel out of Egypt, you know, through God's mighty hand, who had been in Pharaoh's court. He's telling him, "What you are doing is not good." Now, Moses could have very well, his pride could have taken hold. The smoke could have started coming out of his ears and thinking, "Get out of here. You're just my father-in-law. What are you telling me this is not good?" Let's continue on. "Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out," verse 18. "For this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself." Verse number 19. "Listen now to my voice, and I will give you counsel, and God be with you." So Jethro began to give counsel to Moses. Now, I will add that this was inspired by God, this particular counsel, because this is something that would be used by Moses and the children of Israel. Continuing on, the middle of verse 19, "Stand before God for the people, so that you may bring the difficulties to God. And he shall teach you, and you shall teach them the statutes and the laws, and show them the way in which they must walk and the work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people, able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and rulers of tens." So he was giving him counsel to get more people, more men involved in what he had to do in the work. Verse 22, "And let them judge the people at all times. Then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you. If you do this thing, and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all this people will also go to their place in peace." Then notice verse 24. "So Moses heeded the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And he went on to choose able men from the congregation to help him in judging matters." Now again, notice that Jethro heeded. He was humble. He didn't let his pride take hold here. He didn't say, "Look, I was trained at Pharaoh's court. I was trained by the best educated men there are in the world." In Acts chapter 7, it says that Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, that he was mighty in words and deeds. And some commentators say that he was the prime minister in Egypt. And yet, he heeded the counsel of his father-in-law. Of course, this was inspired by God, but it shows a good example of heeding wise counsel to do the work of God. Moses was willing to listen to others and improve the way he was doing things. The Nussel Study Bible adds this: This was also a mark of his leadership ability and his lack of self-absorbing pride. He used it to lead and guide the children of Israel and didn't let his pride take hold. So that's an example of heeding good counsel. Now let's take a look at an example of not heeding good and wise counsel, actually heeding bad counsel. 1 Kings chapter 12. You probably already know where I'm going with this, where the children of Israel ended up splitting into the northern tribes and the southern tribes. After King Solomon had died, his son Rehoboam was next to inherit the throne to be king over all Israel. Solomon had chased away Jeroboam, who was a mighty man, a servant in his court, and he chased him away to Egypt. Then Solomon died at the end of chapter 11, and we come to chapter 12, verse number 1, 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse number 1. And Rehoboam, this is Solomon's son, who was to be king, Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone to Shechem to make him king. So he was to be anointed to be king to take Solomon's place. Verse 2. So it happened when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard it, because he had been chased away by Solomon to Egypt. When he heard it, he was still in Egypt, for he had fled from the presence of King Solomon and had been dwelling in Egypt, which was not a good place to be dwelling because Jeroboam was schooled in all the paganism in Egypt while he was there. Verse number 3, that they sent and called him. Then Jeroboam and the whole assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, your father made our yoke heavy. Now therefore lighten the burdensome service of your father and his heavy yoke which he put on us, and we will serve you. So the children of Israel went to Rehoboam and said, decrease our tax burden. Your father taxed us terribly, and it was too much for us. Please lighten up on us, is what they were saying. So he said to them, verse number 5, depart for 3 days, and then come back to me. And the people departed. So he wanted a 3-day buffer zone to think about this and to get some counsel. Verse number 6, then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he lived, and he said, how do you advise me to answer these people? And what happened is they advised him to take it easy on the children of Israel. As it says here, verse number 7, they spoke to him, saying, if you will be a servant to these people today, serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, and they will be your servants forever. In other words, take it easy on them, and they'll be good to you. But, verse number 8, he rejected the advice which the elders had given him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him who stood before him. And to make a long story short, the young men gave him bad advice to continue taking it out of the children of Israel to not decrease their tax burden. And what happened is the tribes of Israel split. 2 tribes went with King Rehoboam, Solomon's son, Judah and Benjamin. They became known as the tribes of Judah. The other 10 formed under Jeroboam, made him king, and became known as the northern tribes. The result of following bad counsel and not listening to good counsel was Israel split. A disaster. Again, one of those pitfalls that can happen. So these are a couple of biblical examples that we can see how good counsel can steer us in the right direction if we're willing to sit down and listen and also be humble as well. So for the rest of the sermon time, let's examine 3 important areas in seeking counsel. Now there's probably a dozen areas that we could come up with of seeking counsel, but I have 3 of them for you today and the rest of this time. First and foremost is we must seek counsel from God. We must seek counsel from God. And you know, I don't think that's something that we do or think about enough. You know, we have these decisions, sometimes they're daily decisions, life decisions, you know, of all the things that I mentioned previously, school, career, family matters, issues that come up. And we need counsel from God. Again, the counsel to steer us in the right direction through the dangerous waters of life. Seek counsel from God. Isaiah chapter 28. Please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 28 and verse number 29. Isaiah 28. Previous to verse 29, the section of Scripture is talking about God's wisdom. God's wisdom and how he deals with people. Then we come to verse number 29. Again, talking about God's wisdom. This also comes from the Lord of hosts, who is wonderful in counsel and excellent in guidance. Take a look at the last part of verse 29 and remember it. And when you have to make an important decision, remember that. God can steer me in the right direction. He's wonderful in counsel and excellent in guidance. And you know, I have to do that myself as a minister when sometimes I'm dealing with things that are related to brethren in our areas. I have to get down and ask God in prayer, help me to make the right decision with this particular case. Guide me in the right direction. You're the one that's wonderful and can guide me in the right to make the right decision, to say the right thing. Please help me, God, so that I can do this. In the Scriptures, we won't read through them for time's sake, but verses 23 through 29 talks about the farmer and how he uses his wisdom, the special tools to develop his crops, the care and the wisdom that he uses to eventually be able to harvest. And God uses wisdom and care when he deals with us on an individual basis. Again, he has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us. And he has his special tools, his ways. Sometimes it's trials that we go through or whatever it might be, to work with us and develop us, to make us into what he has planned for us in the future. But he is wonderful in counsel and excellent in guidance. Today's English version reads like this: the plans God makes are wise, and they always succeed. God has a plan for each and every one of us. Communicating with God allows him to counsel us and give us wisdom. And we just need to take advantage of that and think about that a little bit more. Seek God, because he's excellent in guidance and wonderful in counsel. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Notice verses 6 and 7. Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Again, we have knowledge and understanding from his word that we can study on a daily basis and get more of knowledge from him. But also, we can seek his wisdom and guidance to steer us in the right direction. Verse number 7, for he stores up sound wisdom for the upright, and he is a shield to those who walk uprightly, a shield to guard us and maintain us in the right direction. Wisdom, one of the definitions of wisdom, is to be able to successfully solve problems, avoid dangers, and attain goals. And we can do that by seeking counsel from God and wisdom from God. You don't have to turn there, but in Psalm chapter 16 and verse number 7, it says, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. God is great in counsel. Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 26. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 26. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. And we all want to be delivered. We want to be saved from our problems and the trials that we go through. It says, whoever walks wisely will be delivered. Walking wisely refers to trusting in God rather than trusting in self. Too often we want to go it alone and make decisions that sometimes are too tough for us. Just like Jethro noticed, Moses was doing too much on his own for the children of Israel. He said, you need help. And often we need help as well. And God is our primary source of counsel. One who trusts in his own mind and mental resources. That's the way people do today. And we see a world that's crashing around us, our nation, and the world that's going downhill fast. One of the scriptures in Deuteronomy says, they are a nation void of counsel. Our leadership is not seeking the wise counsel like they should. And the result can be disastrous. But the result of a righteous lifestyle is that God protects us. He's our source of safety, security, and protection. Notice verse number 18. Let's see. Proverbs chapter 28. No, that's not what I wanted to turn to. I'm sorry. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 26. I was already there. Let's see here. Yes, it is. Chapter 28 and verse 18. Chapter 28, verse 18. Whoever walks blamelessly will be saved, but he who is perverse in his ways will suddenly fall. Again, a righteous lifestyle, walking with God, and God can save us. He can help us to go in the right direction. So first and foremost is we must seek God and seek his counsel. Number two, a second aspect in seeking counsel of many sources that we can seek in our lives is seeking counsel from the ministry. Seeking counsel from the ministry as God's representatives. Turn to Malachi chapter 2, verse number 7. We'll be looking at this scripture in the Bible study today. Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2. Verse number 7. This particular section of scripture is describing how a priest, or we could add a minister, how he should be teaching the law. Chapter 2 of Malachi, verse number 7. For the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, or further knowledge. He should further the knowledge of the people so that they can grow in understanding. And people should seek the law from his mouth. So the people should seek, or as the New International Version has it translated, inquire of God. Inquire of God through the priest. The last part of verse number 7. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. He's God's representative. So inquiring of God, seeking after the law from God, is something that we need to do. And it can be an attitude as much as anything else. When you go to, as it says, the priest here, the minister, asking for some advice or some wisdom. Now, I say this as an attitude because it's something like, you know, when you ask for anointing, when you ask, and we had a sermon on that here a few weeks ago, you go to the minister, as it tells us in the book of James, to call on the elders to ask to be anointed for God's healing. Now, it isn't the elder who heals you. It isn't the oil or the hands put on your head that heals you. It's God that heals you. But in your heart, you're seeking after God because you want his healing. And so you approach the elder. This is something similar when you're asking for advice. In your heart, you're seeking after God's will in your life by inquiring. Now, you might not always get the answer that you're looking for. Sometimes it takes time to consider a matter and think about it. Even Jesus Christ didn't always give an answer when he was questioned. Sometimes he gave an answer right away. Sometimes he challenged others. Sometimes he answered by giving a parable with a moral to it. So he didn't answer all the time right away, but it's a matter of inquiring of God and seeking his will. Again, a matter of attitude. But I think it's the goal of any minister to try to help the people in his flock. That's my goal, to try to help the brethren under my care to grow and to grow spiritually. Let's go to 3 John chapter, 3 John actually, the book of 3 John, right before Jude and Revelation. We don't turn there very often, but John expresses very delicately and in a great way how he cared for the people under him, his flock. 3 John, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 4. 3 John, verse number 1, the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Verse number 2, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. So he wanted this particular individual to prosper as a minister. Verse number 3, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. So he had begun to hear about this other individual through others and how he was walking in the truth. And John rejoiced greatly. It gave him great joy to hear about one of the brethren that's walking in truth. Then notice verse number 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And I think that any minister, a true minister, will say that from the heart. I have no greater joy than to see the brethren under my care, the flock, walking in the truth and walking with God. And that's the ultimate aim of us as we help the brethren in the church. Keeping watch over the brethren. William Barclay adds this. The greatest joy of the leaders of any Christian fellowship is to see those who they lead established in the Christian way in following Jesus Christ. The thought of keeping watch over their spiritual life and helping them, the goal of a minister to guide you in your walk with God. The third aspect in seeking counsel is to diligently seek counsel from many sources. Diligently seek counsel from many sources. As I said earlier, we all have to make plans. Sometimes it's the physical plans, the decisions that we make, or the more important spiritual decisions that we make. And we must diligently seek counsel from many sources. As I brought out, many of you are faced with health issues. And it's always good to get more than one opinion and seek out a variety of counsel in making any major decision. Proverbs chapter 2. This is good for young people as well, because there's many decisions to make in your future. It's always good to get a lot of good, sound advice. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, we're going to read verses 2 through 6, expresses in many verbs of diligently seeking after wisdom and counsel. Proverbs chapter 2, seeking wisdom after God. Proverbs chapter 2. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Notice the expressions here. Incline your ear. Apply your heart. Let's talk about diligence in seeking after wisdom. Yes, if you cry out for discernment. And boy, do we all need discernment when we have to make decisions. Crying out for it. Again, asking God, that primary source, to lead us in the right direction. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding in prayer. If you seek for her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God by diligently seeking after God's wisdom in his heart and his mind. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. It's a requirement to diligently seek after that wisdom and to seek a variety of sources of counsel. Cry out for discernment. We already read that in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Let's take a look at a scripture that we use quite often when we're counseling somebody for baptism. In Luke chapter 14, what we call the count the cost scripture. Luke chapter 14, whenever I'm counseling somebody for baptism, I always have them turn to this section of scripture, or I refer to it, counting the cost of the decision that you're making, the most important decision that you're making in your life to become baptized, and to really consider all that's going to be happening, because sometimes you can have trials along the way. Quite often you have trials along the way, and you need to count the cost of being a true follower of Christ. Luke chapter 14, and let's begin reading in verse number 28. Luke 14, verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Now, Christ is using a simple analogy of a building project here, of a building of a tower. And if somebody's going to build a tower, they've got to have plans. And you also have to consider whether you have enough funds to finish the project. That's what he's saying. Are you really counting the cost of finishing the plans that you have set forth to build this tower? Verse 29, lest after he has laid the foundation, the very beginning of the project, and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. So, the moral of the story is this particular individual did not count the cost. He laid the foundation and whoops, he ran out of funds and was not able to finish. There's a spiritual analogy to this as well, that we have great decisions to make. We have to count the cost of being a follower of Jesus Christ. Are we going to finish and continue on? Are we going to let some of the trials that come along steer us in the wrong direction? But we can use discernment, seek after God's counsel to steer us back in the right direction. But we need to count the cost and, again, seek wise counsel. In a multitude of counselors, there is safety, especially with many important life decisions that we make. The Amplified Version reads like this. The one who, that one ought to sit down and consider and take counsel. Take counsel, so very important in our life decisions, physical decisions, and our spiritual ones. Now, as we begin to close in the message today, let's take a look at a couple of prophecies. We see that three important areas, aspects for seeking counsel, and there's many. You know, we can seek counsel from our family members, sometimes from our wives or our husbands. But again, seeking counsel from God is the most important. We need to seek counsel from the ministry and also diligently seek counsel from a wide variety of sources. But let's take a look now, with all that in mind, at a couple prophecies. Prophecies of wisdom that Jesus Christ will use as he rules in the kingdom. And we know that each and every one of us has the opportunity and the potential to rule alongside Jesus Christ. And we need wisdom to be able to rule alongside of him. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. That's another reason why it's so important to seek counsel, because we need wisdom to be able to rule in the future alongside Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse number 1. Isaiah 11, verse number 1. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. This is referring to Jesus Christ the Messiah. Notice verse number 2 and how the Spirit is mentioned so many times in this particular verse. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. With all this help from the Spirit, Jesus Christ is going to rule in the coming kingdom of God. And we need God's Holy Spirit working with us as well, to have that same kind of wisdom to be able to rule alongside of him. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and fear will be a trademark of rulership in the kingdom of God. Let's look at another prophecy in Proverbs. This might surprise you that it's a prophecy, but it's a description of wisdom, and it contains prophecy of how kings do rule and how they will rule in the kingdom. Proverbs chapter 8, as we begin to wind down here now. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. And let's begin reading in verse number 12. Proverbs 8, verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance in the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Remember, we already talked about the fact that Moses was a good example of not having pride and being humble. Verse number 14, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Then notice verse 15, by me kings reign and rulers decree justice. Sound wisdom is going to be exemplified in the kingdom of God, ruled by Jesus Christ and those who will be ruling alongside of him. Counsel is mine, sound wisdom, understanding, and strength. Those of us who rule by Jesus Christ will have learned the lessons of counseling today in order to help others in the future. One final scripture, Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 22. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22. Without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. The New International Version reads like this. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. And we do need counsel from a variety of sources, both the young and the old, in the many decisions that we have to make. As we begin to wind down, I want to read a quote, a little section from the Life Application Study Bible, because I think it really closes the door on this particular topic that we're talking about today. It reads like this. We all need the help of those who can enlarge our vision and broaden our perspective. In any major decision we make concerning college, marriage, career, children, etc., it is not a sign of weakness to ask for advice. Find good advisors before making any decision. They can help you expand your alternatives and evaluate your choices. So again, we need to find good advisors in any decision to help us expand our alternatives and evaluate our choices. And God is the best advisor that we have, who is excellent in counsel and guidance. God is a planning God. He wants us to be planners as well. God's way of life is planning and preparation, and God encourages us to seek wise counsel in any decision that we make. Winston Churchill said, as I mentioned at the beginning of the sermon, it takes courage to sit down and listen. So let us be courageous and seek wise counsel, especially from God and His Word, to learn to be effective rulers in the kingdom of God.